This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Friday, September 17th is Constitution Day. That's right. On this date in 1787, the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia adopted the Constitution, then had to be ratified, of course, by the states. But how much do Americans today actually know about what's in the Constitution? How many have even read it, and how much of the country even knows what it means, especially at a time when both political parties are talking about which side of this various debates in Washington the Constitution actually supports? And with me now to talk about this is Rich Brake. He's the co-director of the National Civic Literacy Board at the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. And Rich, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate the time.
You have tested college students of various levels in their collegiate education, as well as adults, both educated and not college educated. And you've kind of compiled these results over the years to determine just how much the American adult population really knows about the Constitution. And what have you learned?
Well, we've learned that, unfortunately, whether you have a high school degree or even a college degree or even a really good college degree, like from Yale or Harvard or anything like that, we're kind of scandalously undereducated in terms of not just the American Constitution, but basic elements of American history. And I like the way that you kind of led off our program, because these issues, especially about how the Constitution is supposed to work, are really live questions. They structure the kinds of debates that are hot today in Washington D.C. and in the different states. So this is not just a trivia test. This is actually something that really means a lot to the future course of the country.
What shocks you most about the poor performance on this test? Is it basic stuff that people really don't get, or is it kind of the more complicated issues in the Constitution?
Yeah, I think it's the former. One of the questions that I'm actually a professor, I teach American politics and American political history, and when we asked this basic question, what are the three branches of government? Now, look, if you're a voter and you go into that voting booth, if you don't know that there's something called the Congress and something called the President, and of course, hopefully, you know something about the courts too, that's pretty essential. And only 64% of college graduates could name all three correctly. The amazing thing there is that that's a question from our citizenship exam. This is what we expect new citizens to know. And when they were redesigning the test a couple of years ago, they found that 65% of new immigrants who had never seen the test before actually did that. So that means that new citizenship applicants know more about our Constitution than we do. And that's pretty pathetic, actually.
Rich Brake is co-director of the National Civic Literacy Board at the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. Rich, explain in real brief terms, because I know it's come up in so many different debates over the past few years, but just in a couple of issues that have come up in recent years, whether it's health care or immigration or even just how the spending and the deficits work, how should the Constitution be factored into those debates, perhaps in a way that it hasn't been?
I'll give you an example on the health care debate. One of the questions we asked was, what is federalism? The correct answer, a political system where state and national governments share power. The whole notion of the Constitutional Convention was that there had to be some kind of balance between what new Congress could do and what powers were retained by the states. And a lot of states were very upset that they had given a lot of these powers, and so they wanted a Bill of Rights. And they wanted, especially the 10th Amendment, that says that anything that's not listed that Congress has is reserved to the state. So here you've got a new health care legislation that is going to require people to purchase health care. Well, I don't see in the Constitution anything that says that Congress has the power to enforce me to purchase anything. Now, maybe the states do. Now, of course, maybe they don't either, because they have their own bills of rights. So they get this power from something called the Commerce Clause. Well, is commerce forcing you to purchase something? That would be a very new kettle of fish. And so that's just one example of how a basic provision in the Constitution informs a pretty important debate that I think will actually be very instrumental in terms of who wins or loses come November.
Rich, if someone were to take this quiz and perhaps do poorly, as apparently a lot of people do, what would you say if they said, well, we've got people who understand the Constitution, these debates get complicated, why do I need to understand what's in this thing?
Well, because first and foremost, if we live in a representative system, we get to actually exercise wisdom and judgment and decide, okay, are you exercising your powers legitimately or not? And so if it's just going to be, we're going to have a set of elites who basically are, their job is to do all the heavy lifting of government, then that sounds more to me like an aristocracy and not a meritocracy, which is what Jefferson and others wanted for our country. So government is hard work, self-government is hard work, and therefore, if we do leave it up to the elites, then we essentially have lost our way in terms of what self-government is all about.
Rich, this obviously calls for a bit of speculation, but if Madison and Hamilton and Jay and all those guys in Philadelphia 223 years ago, I guess, were to see how this Constitution is being operated now, what do you think they'd think?
Well, I think that they would be surprised, first of all, by just how extensive the national government is. Now, maybe Hamilton would like that, but I know that Jefferson and Madison and others would, and even Hamilton, I would argue, probably would be shocked by how much governing decisions get made in Washington. You know, most of them understood that taxing authority and the kinds of questions that impact our daily lives should be left to the state and local governments. And so Hamilton thought, well, we'll give the national government power over defense, over foreign affairs, maybe some interstate commerce. But the rest of that, he couldn't understand why the federal government would want all of these headaches. And so I think they would be shocked by just the extensive nature of the federal system, of federal government.
Rich, fascinating. We'll see how much folks learn about the Constitution as a result of this Constitution Day attention to the document. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Greg. I appreciate it.
You bet. Rich Brake, co-director of the National Civic Literacy Board at the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.